Welcome, everyone.
Hi.
Oh, wow.
Hi.
I know it's raining outside, but welcome, everyone.
Oh, that's better.
Happy Christmas.
You guys are sound about as tired as I feel. I am just after tonight about to go on holiday for a week.
Amen.
Yay.
So I'm excited about that. And actually, it is a kind of time of year thing. I get that. But often with me, I get a bit tired. And I'm praying to God, I'm like, why am I tired? A lot of the time I'm tired because I put everything on myself. And things become about me and what I'm doing and what I'm up to. And it's just a really good reminder through the worship. And it's a reminder through the sermon tonight that it's not about us.
No.
We don't do it. We're not building the church in Moaness. God will build his church.
Yep.
And Moaness. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So I've got a question for you tonight as I kick off. Why are you here? Not here at the Barony, here on planet Earth. Or, what were you made for? The question or these questions speak to the core of your identity. What is your purpose? There's a reason why Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, sold over 30 million copies in the 5 years from its launch in 2002. What's the reason? The world is looking for purpose. It's looking for identity. As a Christian, you have a distinct advantage. You're in relationship with the God who holds your purpose in his hands. You're in a relationship with a God who holds your identity in the palms of his hands. The Apostle Paul taught in Romans 8, 28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. In other words, the reason you're here is for God's purposes. That is what you were made for. You see, you weren't made just to survive. You're made to thrive.
Amen.
Your mission is to see God's kingdom established on the earth, wherever you find yourself. The mission of this church is to see God's kingdom established in Moaness. See, Jesus prayed this. He prayed to his Father God in heaven, Matthew 6, saying, God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our job as a church is to pull heaven down to earth. All the resources of heaven are available to us on earth. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Do you really believe that tonight all the resources of heaven are available to us here in our lives, whether in our jobs or in our neighborhoods or in our hobbies or, yes, here at church? All the resources of heaven are available for us to build God's kingdom. Do you believe that the church at the Barony has all the resources of heaven to transform the whole of Moaness? It's not just about seeing a church established. I'm talking about transforming the town.
Yeah.
I'm talking about impacting business, health, education, government, religion, family, arts, literature, media, all of it. And my question to you tonight is, where has God placed you? Where has he got you? Which sphere of God's world can you have an outsized kingdom impact? This sounds like a giant task, right? It sounds like a Goliath task. You like the link? See where I'm going there? It is. But we have the God of Israel on our side. Just as David succeeded over the giant Goliath, we will succeed in bringing God's kingdom here to Moaness. Amen?
Amen?
We're looking at the story of David and Goliath tonight. I'm sure you're really, really familiar with it. It's one of the most familiar stories in the whole of the Bible. Israel and the Philistines were getting ready to engage a battle at Socah in Judah. David wasn't even supposed to be there. His older three brothers were part of the army, but David was there just because his father had sent him to bring food to his brothers. While he was there, he made himself available to Saul to go and fight. He defeated Goliath, and Israel won the battle. You see, David wasn't important in the world's eyes. He was just the runt of a litter of eight brothers. He was a nobody. But, and it's a big but, he had been anointed king of Israel by the prophet Samuel. This is the previous chapter. This is 1 Samuel 16. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. He had the Spirit of God on him. The power of God resided on David. The Spirit of God and his power resides on you tonight. Do you know that? Jesus, at his ascension to heaven, spoke these words to his followers, of which you guys are one. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will receive power from the Holy Spirit. You see, you carry the same Spirit of God, the same power as David carried in his battle against Goliath. This is David talking to Goliath out on the battlefield. You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, Amen. The God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I'll give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or by spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. Amen?
Amen.
It's what God seems to be saying to us tonight. It's his battle. It's his fight. It's not up to us. A lot of the time, we just need to show up.
Yeah.
We just need to turn up. He does it. Why was David so confident that God would deliver him on the battlefield? Because he had form. Because God had delivered him multiple times when he'd been tending sheep. So because David had seen God move in small situations, he had confidence for big situations, right? David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God." Oh, the confidence. Oh, the boldness. "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." I believe this is what God wants to say to you tonight. Get confident in God in the little things. Get confident in God in the little things, and he will take care of the big picture. He will take care of the big things. You've got a team of people here that show up on the barony on a Sunday night. Sometimes it's 20, sometimes it's 30, sometimes it's 40. It's small beginnings. It's small. But it's in God's hands.
Mm.
And I believe God will make it grow.
Mm. Yep.
Get confident in that. You have 9 people in an Alpha course right now. Great. Get confident in that. Get confident in what God's doing. You've seen multiple people impacted on the streets of Bowness through the turning. Great. Get confident in that. God is training you. God is teaching you. God has shown you how to be the church here in Bowness. God is getting you ready. He's bringing in his kingdom. I love how Dr. Luke describes the mission of God in Luke 24. Here we go. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. Notice the tense of this and notice the form. It is future perfect progressive form. I did my homework. That indicates ongoing action that will be completed at some definite time.
Yeah.
So what that means is the initiative is God's. What that means is God will make sure that repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. He will make sure of that.
Mm-hmm.
Then salvation will be completed. It will be done. God is going to bring heaven to earth, whether we're involved in it or not. I love that.
Yeah.
Totally takes the pressure off.
Amen.
It's not up to us to make it happen. It's up to God. We get the privilege of being part of what he is already doing. So, what is your Goliath tonight? What is my Goliath tonight? What do I need to hand over to God and just leave in his hands? Well, my Goliath in my job right now is St. John's Vision and Giving Week. That's my thing. I'm trusting God to raise over £30,000 on the 27th of October. He did it last year, and I need him to do it again this year. Why do we need that money? Because he's given us a vision for church plants, for the New Well, which is a charity to help the poor and the vulnerable in Linlithgow and the surrounding areas. And he's given us a vision for training, not just for our own people, but for people in surrounding churches as well. We want to be able to train and equip and resource so that more leaders can do more church plants and see more people swept into God's kingdom.
Yes.
That's what we want. For example, to run the barony, it's £20,000 a year. We need to raise that money. There's people in St. John's that are sowing into what we're doing here.
Thank the Lord.
Yep.
Amen. Did you know that that's what it costs? To do all that God has in Bowness through the Church of the Barony. See, we've got 3 amazing members of staff. We've got David, who gives 2 days a week in Bowness, establishing church and running ministries. We've got Annabelle, who works as an administrator to keep David organised.
He needs it.
And to facilitate all the church and other meetings that happen during the week. And we also have a newly appointed intern, Mel.
Yay!
Welcome to the team, who will be working with the church plant, especially focused around mission and evangelism. I'm going to go on a segue here. Keith Short was up at a Spur retreat last week. Spur retreat is with a lot of leaders of bigger churches.
Yep.
And they were talking about church plants.
Yep.
And they're all doing church plants. I know of about 25 church plants that are happening in Scotland right now.
Yep.
And I know there's more. This is what God's doing. Why is he doing this? It's because in church plants, everybody sits in the seat and they look around and they go, there's not a lot of people here. If this is going to happen, and we're going to see God's kingdom established, I better get involved.
Amen.
Yep. Fill your sleeves up.
That's why God's kingdom is growing in Scotland. It's through church plants. It's through people like you realizing that church isn't an event. It's not something you just show up to.
Yeah.
It's something that you are. It's something that you participate in. And when you're small, you realize that. And you roll your sleeves up. And you get involved. And that's what God's calling you guys to. We've got a great team. But that team is there to support and encourage you. And I love that you've joined the team, Mel, because you have such a heart of evangelist. And you see the church of God out there, not in here.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. So get around Mel and encourage her. God is working in their lives right now in this venture. So what is your giant tonight? What are you believing God for right now? I'm just going to give you 5 minutes, just on your own. You can close your eyes if you like. You can move a seat over if you want to do that too. And I just want you to think about what your giant is. And I want you just to pray into that right now and invite God into your giant situation. I just have a sense that some of you tonight just feel like, I'm just not up to the task. I've got like a major health issue or family situation or work situation, and I'm like, I just can't see myself doing this. Well, God wants to see that's the point.
Yeah.
Because he moves powerfully through the weak and through the vulnerable. And it's for us to get on our knees and to take our stuff to him. And that's why prayer is so important within church family. Because when we pray for each other, it's not the person doing the praying, it's just a conduit of God's Holy Spirit. And if you would like to receive prayer for healing tonight, or prayer for any situation that you're facing, then please just come and ask me or David or any of the team, and we will pray for you. How should we respond to God's call in our lives? Here's David's cry in Psalm 43. Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. The enemy pursues me, he crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in the darkness like those long dead. So my spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. I spread out my hands to you. I thirst for you like a parched land. It doesn't sound like a guy who has life easy. Answer me quickly, Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring me out of trouble. In your unfailing love, silence my enemies. Destroy all my foes, for I am your servant. You see, God is not looking for perfect people. He's looking for passionate people. He's looking for people who will show up, and they will keep showing up and keep showing up and keep showing up. You see, David committed adultery. He committed murder. He was manipulative at times, and he carried blood on his hands. But God forgave all that. Why? Because he loved his passion. He loved his heart. God knew that David's relationship with him came first. Can you say the same tonight? Can you say that you pursue God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength? Can you say that God is number one in your life? That you have no other priorities apart from God? Because that's what God requires. That's what God wants from you tonight. If you are passionate about seeing God's kingdom come in your life and around the people you know and around this town, that's what it takes. It takes showing up, and it takes making God number one. You have no other priorities apart from God. I really find it a difficult question to answer myself, and I work for a church. I love the church. I love being involved running the church. I love preaching and teaching, but do I really love God? Do I really put Him first? Is my life turned out for Him? Do I really run after Him the way David did? Let's just pray. God, help us to run after you like David did. Help us to see our purpose in you. Help us to believe you to overcome the giants that are in our lives through trusting in you. For your glory. Amen.